What's up, y'all? My name is Ian Edwards, and welcome to the Soccer Comic Rant. We are back, and so is football. It's been a minute, man, but it's good to be back, and the Premiership season is about to start on Saturday, and there's games on Saturday, too. There's games on Sunday. There's been transfers. There's been Super Cups. There's been Community Shields. There's been Confederation Cups. There's been Gold Cups. There's been all kinds of shit going on, and it's good to be back. Before I go any further, I say we're back, but it's just me right now. I'm in Australia. I'm down under in Sydney doing shows. I've got like several shows, but my main show, everybody who's in Sydney or in Australia, come out to see me at the Comedy Store in Sydney, and that's on the 19th of August. Come check me out. I'm headlining. I'm doing an hour. I don't even know if I have an hour of material that translates to Sydney, but we'll see. So come check me out. It's a solo show. Show starts 6:15, and I'll be at the Comedy Store in Sydney, Australia, next weekend. And I have some other little shows around too, but so I'm here by myself, so I'm going to do the podcast by myself. We're going to talk about Community Shield. We're going to talk about transfers. We're going to talk about the Super Cup between Real Madrid and Man United. And before I go any further again, I just want to mention our sponsor. It's On The Volley Apparel, and we have a special deal with them. So if you're a listener, and you go to onthevolleyapparel.com, and you want to order something, if you use the code COMICRANT, you'll get a 20% discount, okay? A 20% discount. They have a lot of good stuff there. They sent me some. I wear some, and I also will be giving away some on the show. So when you go to SoundCloud, send me a message. I'll send you some stuff. And if you listen to the show on iTunes, tell people, and please write a review. And the podcast is available also at allthingscomedy.com. There's a ton of great comics there doing their podcasts. I took a break for the season after the season ended, but now I'm back. And I love football. It's a beautiful sport. I want to do anything to grow it in the United States or just around the world, period. It's my childhood, and it's my adulthood. And besides being a stand-up comic, this is something that I really love. So let's get first into the Super Cup. And the Super Cup was dope. It was between Champions League champions, Real Madrid, who is my favorite team, or my team in the La Liga, versus my favorite team of all time, Manchester United, who won the Europa League Cup. And this was an interesting game, so I'll just describe the game. So the game started with Man U coming out strong and cutting out passes, putting passes together, and attacking Real Madrid early in the first half. Then, 15 minutes into the game, Madrid took over and put like 5,000 passes together, put pressure on Man U, and almost scored until they did, with Casemiro scoring. Now, Casemiro, before that, hit the post, had a header, and this guy is like, he's a defensive guy. He's a defensive midfielder, but he is coming on so strong towards the end of the last La Liga season until now. Now he's taking responsibility for not just breaking up passes, but he's also scoring goals. And he's just stepping up and growing as a big-time player. And this is not what they bought. They bought a guy to be a holding midfielder who's turning into a world-class player. So this is some bonus shit that Real Madrid got going on. They got a bonus player. They got a player who's grown in price as he's been with them. And he's only going to get better. And he's becoming a team leader. You could see it. the confidence, the glow. He was all over the field in the first half. They gave the player of the match to Isco, who had a really good game and who also scored. But for that first half, when Man U was kind of exerting their dominance, Casemiro stepped up and kind of took the game back and put it in Real Madrid's hands in after 15 minutes of the first half and also into the beginning of the second half. I would say Real Madrid won the first half of the game, and Man U made it respectable. You know, respectable. I'm not even saying it right. I don't even know why. It's like, what time? It's 11 o'clock Wednesday night, Sydney time, but that's really like 6:30, 6 a.m. LA time. So I'm caught between times. So that's what's going on here. So Casemiro, to me, he should have been the man of the game. He turned the tide of the game when Man U started to dominate early. And Modric played good. He's one of my favorite players in the world, period. Real Madrid started Bale, which silenced everybody who said they were going to try to sell him and sell him to Man U. So it's weird when the team that you're rumored to have been getting ready to be sold to is the team that you're playing. So I think they want to keep him, and I think they should keep him, because I don't want Real Madrid to buy Bale yet, because I don't know what Bale is yet. Like, when I watch Bale play now, he's not the guy I used to see play. He's not the guy that played for Spurs that would take over a game. And he's not the guy that earlier on, I think, did a lot of amazing things at Real Madrid, even though they've won titles in the last few years. He's had a lot of injuries. And there are younger players on Real Madrid that I think might take his spot. So I'm not sure about Bale. I'm not bailing on him, but I know Man U would have paid an exorbitant amount of money for this player, and I'm not sure he would be worth it. I got to see what he does this season. And then if he does really good this season, his price is really going to skyrocket. But I think we're good. You know, as a Man U fan, I want us to play with what we have. And I want to look at what Man U has. So now, Man U did some buying last year and this year. And we have an interesting squad. So we have Jose Mourinho. And one thing I like about Jose Mourinho is, especially compared to the things I don't like about him, this is a midfield guy. Any team he goes to, if they don't have a midfield, he'll get them one. And he started last year by acquiring Paul Pogba and Mkhitaryan. And midfield is what Man U needed, even in the last years of Fergie. Like, we had an old Scholes, we had an old Giggs, Beckham was gone, and we had Carrick, who is decent. He's fine, man, but I'm not going to overrate Carrick like everybody overrates Carrick. And we just didn't have the class of midfielder that we used to have. You know, we had an old Scholes. We just didn't. But when you bring Pogba in and Mkhitaryan in, and now they got Matic, and we might get Perisic, and I'm sure I'm saying that wrong, that's a strong midfield. So he's done that. We have Mata, and also we have, let's see what we have. Let me go through the list here of players that we have. We have Martial. You know, we saw what he did to Real Madrid in that preseason game. He's a young player, and he's got a lot of potential. He just has to pick up his head sometimes and look for a pass and pick people out. When he does it, he's amazing, but there's a lot of times he doesn't do it. So we have some quality. We have Mata. We have Onda Herrera. We have Fellaini, who you gotta respect. Just an aside, going back into the game, it was funny to see Fellaini come into the game when we were down 2-0. He changed the game. Like every Man U fan, I know last year we wanted to hate Fellaini because of that penalty that he gave away to Arsenal. But he has since turned things around. He helped us in the semis and for us to get into the Euro finals. And he was an effective player in the Euro finals himself. He can play good. I think his play has improved. So we have a way better midfield than before. Like it's exponentially better, you know, since Mourinho got there. And we also have this young kid called Andreas Pereira. I've saw him play in some of the preseason games. I like him. We have Lingard. We have Rashford. So we got midfield for days. Something we didn't have before Mourinho got there. We have a Tanazebi. Is that how you pronounce it? Just go online, look it up, and say it however you want to say it. But we got him, all right? And who knows where Fassel Mensah is going to play. I hope they play him. And we have Varela. He's a defender. But we have people. We have people. We only got one forward, which is dangerous. Even though you can put Rashford in for Lukaku if Lukaku gets injured. And Pogba might be able to play more with Matic there and with Herrera there. You know, you can set him up to attack with Mkhitaryan or Rashford or Mata, you know, to set up Lukaku, you know. So we have way more choices. And Mourinho, when he went to Chelsea the first time and when he left them with a championship midfield that went on to win Champions League, you know, and that midfield lasted a long time until he came back and set them up with another championship midfield, which he won the premiership with, lost the premiership with, and then under Conte, that midfield, with the addition of N'Golo Kanté, won again. So, listen, I know people are going to want to know, or a good question is, who do I think is going to win the premiership? And it's tough. The transfer window hasn't closed yet. You don't know what everybody's final moves are going to be. But I do know that with this midfield, that Man U is one of the favorites. I think in transfer-wise, they did a good job. They have definitely strengthened the squad, and we have a lot of options, and we only have one forward, but we have enough players to get us through injuries, to help us in the Champions League, in the FA Cup, in the League Cup, and in the Premiership. And we may add at least one more. So we're doing good. We probably need another forward. But, you know, depending on how Rashford does, maybe Ibra will come back. We're pretty solid. You know, like, I feel more comfortable with that midfield, you know, up against the Chelsea midfield. I think Chelsea didn't do that much during the transfer window. They got Morata, and they're holding on to Diego Costa for now, but it's likely he'll go, or maybe stranger things happen in football. Maybe they'll erase the text and work it out. And Costa will forget that Conte sent it and just sitting there, or maybe he'll go back to La Liga. We'll see. I hope he goes back to La Liga. I hope Chelsea only has one forward. I'm a Man U fan, and I want Man U to have every chance possible to win, even if it means another team losing a good player. That's better for us. Liverpool, I don't think they've done enough. Plus, they might lose Coutinho to Barcelona by the time I post this podcast. So I'm not sure about them. You know, I don't think they're stronger than us anymore, for sure. The only thing about Man U is, we don't know what Mourinho is going to do, how he's going to play them. Is he going to be conservative and make us a defensive team? Is he going to make us an attacking team? And he does make us an attacking team. Is he going to make us an attacking team in the beginning of the season and then pull back and make us defensive towards the end of the season when he wants to like hold on to the league lead if we have it? You don't know what Mourinho is going to do. And that's the thing with Mourinho. Like, he builds a team. He has a midfield that I like. But I don't know what he's going to do with these guys. I don't know if he's going to release the hounds or pull back the hounds and make the hounds play defense. I have no fucking idea. Like, he has players like Martial, and you want to see Martial attack. You want to see Rashford attack. You want to see Pogba attack. You want to see Mkhitaryan attack. Like, I don't think the defensive style fits Mkhitaryan. But it's 2017, 2018 football. And, you know, if Mkhitaryan was on any other team, he'd have to learn how to defend. So, I don't think Mourinho's asking him to do anything any other team wouldn't ask him to do. I thought Mkhitaryan had a decent to good Super Cup game. He set up Rashford for a goal that Rashford missed. I hope Rashford grows up really fast this season and gets mature and learns to put away those chances. Lukaku missed a chance. I think Real Madrid deserved to win the Supercopa. I don't think Casemiro's goal was offside. I think the goal that Isco scored was well worked and wonderful. And I think the young players that came on, like Vasquez, pretty much embarrassed some of our players. Mainly, I think it was either Valencia or Darmian on the left side. I think that's Valencia's side. Let me check. I don't know how I could forget that Valencia side, but yeah, pretty embarrassing, bro. Pretty embarrassing. So I think Man U has a pretty good chance to win the league. Pretty good chance. Compared to, let me see the other teams that we're up against. So we have fixtures, transfers. Let's see if I can just access teams and look at the list of teams. Just a list of teams. Look at tables. There are no tables, but it's a good idea. So Arsenal. What do I think of Arsenal's shot to win the Premiership? Last year, they finished out of Champions League position. They have a Lucchesi from France. He's broken some records as far as scoring 20 goals in 3 seasons in French football. I'm not impressed yet. I'm not saying I won't be, but I got to see what he's capable of, or if he can translate that to the Premiership. So I'm not worried about this acquisition yet. They won the Community Shield, but I've seen them beat Chelsea in the Community Shield before. But it's funny, man, what Wenger does. Wenger will make his team play in the Community Shield the way they should play all season. Then when the season starts, they play a total different style. Like, when in the Community Shield, they dug in, they won balls, and they fought hard. It was a solid midfield. He played Xhaka and his name is Elneny. Those are their tough guys now. I think he's off. He's off the Coquelin guy because he got embarrassed by Hazard. Plus, I think Arsenal dominated in the Community Shield. They dominated Chelsea, and even though they went one goal down, and Moses put the ball in the back of the net. And then it took a Pedro red card, which, yeah, is a red card. If you slide into somebody who's coming towards you with your studs up, that's a red card. Now, he slid into the Arsenal player when the player was running away from him, but he still caught him with all the studs up. So even though it was a surprise red card, I can't argue with that. And it's kind of similar to what happened in the FA Cup final between Arsenal and Chelsea when Moses got sent off from Chelsea, as opposed to it being Pedro this time and Arsenal coming back to win the game. And that's what happened. They tied the game on their new defender that they got on a free transfer, headed the ball in the net. He's one of Bundesliga's top players from last year, a defender. I don't know how we didn't get him. We mean Man U, but that's a good call on Wenger. They strengthened their team by having a back. And they have Batshuayi. Chelsea has Batshuayi. I just don't know if Arsenal did enough. They might not even hold on to Sanchez, you know? So I don't know. And they have Ozil. I don't know how tough Ozil is going to play. I don't know if Ramsey is going to be more injured than injury-free this year. Welbeck, I don't trust his decision-making process. He's a thoroughbred. He's all over the field. And he gets to places, but he doesn't always do the right thing with the ball. He's I don't know. And Walcott, he scored 20 goals last year for Arsenal. Or 19. I think he scored 19. But it's Walcott, man. He's sometimes he shows up, sometimes he doesn't. He showed up for the most I've seen him ever show up last year. But I just don't know. If these guys didn't win, if you didn't win with these guys before, and it's not like they're some teams, when they're young, you see them growing towards being champions. Arsenal didn't grow last year. The year before, they finished second. And with pretty much the same team with some additions, they finished out of a Champions League spot. So you're watching a team not grow. Even though Walcott probably had the most goals he's ever had in the Premiership season. You could look it up. I might be wrong. Giroud, it's like, so that's why I can't rate Arsenal's chances. So I can't rate Arsenal's chances. Chelsea, they're good. They are the champs, but they didn't add enough. And I don't know how Morata's going to do. I think he'll actually do good. I think he'll be fine. They lost the Community Shield on penalties, but Hazard didn't play. So that would have changed everything. And they just need to stop getting red cards at Wembley. How about that, Chelsea? Try not to get red cards at Wembley. Everton didn't make enough big moves. You know you're bad when a player who should be retiring, Wayne Rooney, is your big move. You're trying to get Sigurdsson. He's going to probably cost $50 million. That's probably £20 million. £50 million, which is probably £20 million too much. And that's a lot of money for a Sigurdsson, man. He's good, but not that good. That's a lot of money. But you made some money selling Lukaku. And maybe you can make some more money getting rid of that midfield kid who doesn't play just hard enough, you know? Doesn't play hard enough, man. Doesn't play hard enough. Let me look at Everton's squad. Pickford. So they picked up Pickford. So that's a good pickup. Solid pickup. So they picked up Pickford as goalkeeper. They got Ashley Williams, Jagielka, Seamus Coleman. Let me just keep looking through their roster. Ross Barkley, the kid. They'll probably sell him. They're probably overpricing him right now, which is why they're having a tough time selling him. But people are going to get desperate. And I'm sure somebody in the Premiership is going to need a Ross Barkley. Morgan Schneiderlin. I'm glad, man, you got rid of him. And I believed in Morgan Schneiderlin for like 5 minutes. when he was at Man U, but that's about it. Yeah, man. And I think Koeman's going to bring through a lot of youth. He's like, Koeman hasn't bought a lot. Except for Wayne Rooney. And let me see. Just like big buys, significant buys, impact buys. Pickford is it. Pickford is the biggest impact buy. Somebody that will change things sort of positive for them. And Ross Barkley could be an impact sell because they could use the money. But you sold one of the best forwards in the league. So you're in trouble. So I don't know how. Nobody's worried about Everton. Nobody's worried about Everton at all. So who else? Man City. Now, Man City, it's funny, man. They didn't fix. Well, they kind of have. See, they got backs. So, Man City, their big problem last year was defensively, right? So their big problem was defensively. So what they went out and did was bought a bunch of midfielders and more attackers, right? And they have a company that made it through the preseason. And we all know how, Vincent Kompany's body is allergic to a premiership season. So we'll see what happens if it holds up. But I hope it does, just for his sake. Why would I want him to be injured? But probably not. They got a goalkeeper, Ederson, who's been good in the preseason. So he's going to probably be the number one, replace Claudio Bravo, who had a great Copa America. Had an amazing Copa America. Yeah, so he redeemed himself there. Stones is still there, so he was a bad thing. So here's the thing. I was talking about defense, and I jumped all over the place. So the problem last year with Man City was leaking goals. So they got Ederson. But let's see how he plays. It's different. Preseason is different than the season. When you're in the middle of a premiership game, crowds are cheering, and it means more than a preseason game. You're going to need to relax. And if you cannot relax, then you won't be a good goalkeeper. So the premiership is about players who can relax in a more tense environment. And that's what determines how good your season is. So an improvement that Man City made was they got Kyle Walker from Spurs, which is a definite improvement, and they got Danilo, right? Danilo, they got him from Real Madrid, and he looked good. He looked good in the game Man City beat Real Madrid in preseason, and so did Kyle Walker. But listen, backs were never Man City's issue. It wasn't the backs, it was the central defenders. So maybe they're going to play the 3-5-2. So maybe they're going to do that. Because they still got Stones, they still got Otamendi, and they still got fucking Mangala. Mangala's back. And Kompany's there, who's injury prone. This is not great. They looked... They have a Pablo Maffeo. I don't know what he is yet or what he's really about. So I can't really vouch for this guy. He's a kid. He's been with Man City since 2013. So he's Spanish, 20 years old. I was looking at him on the roster. And they have... Shit, I don't even want to try to say this defender's name. He's 19. So I don't think they fixed their defensive problem somewhat. But that back three is an issue. especially if company gets injured. Besides that, they've added some attacking, and they got Samuel Nasri back. DeBrun is good. They got Fabian Delph is still there. They have David Silva, Sané. Fernandinho's cool. They got Yaya Toure. I saw some really good youth in the preseason games. Sterling had a good preseason. Then they got Diaz, Spanish international, young kid. He's pretty impressive. I'm afraid of him as a Man U fan. He's 18 years old. So, shit, he's fucking good. He scored two preseason games goals that I saw. Definitely scored one against Real Madrid. He came on as a sub. And who else? I can't remember. I gotta look it up. And Foden, he's an English international, young kid, looked great against Man United. Didn't replicate that performance in other preseason games that I saw him, but if he can do some of that, what he did in the Man United preseason game for Man City, then I'd worry about him. I'd worry about Gabriel Jesus, Sergio Aguero, usual suspects. So they strengthened their squad, but not as defensively as they should have. So will they win the Premiership? Did they do enough? I don't know. I don't think so. Off the top of my head, I don't think so. They did enough to finish better or higher than they did last year. Did they do enough to win? I don't know. You know, you got to face a Man U team that was good defensively last year. They had a good defensive record. And now they've improved creatively. So I still put Man U ahead of Man City. Spurs didn't do anything. Talk about laying down. Oh, they're preseason. They didn't even have a preseason. They're just rolling last season's show into this season's show. Their move was to make no moves. That's Spurs' move. So, Martin, I don't know what your squad is going to do. Like, if you didn't come first with this squad and other teams improved, then how are you going to win logically? You know what I mean? Like, you have the team you had last year and you came second. Everybody else around you improved. So how are you going to win the league when all your competition around you got better? You were in the running, but that's the most I can give you. You were in the running last year. You're in the running, Spurs, to not do as good as you did last year, just based on other teams' improvements. So, I don't know. What is Spurs? Like, Spurs has a budget thing that they like to stick to. Now, they're building a stadium. They're playing at Wembley. They didn't buy anybody. They sold people. A key player, Kyle Walker. They do bring players up from their youth system who have proven to be effective. So that would help them. So we're just going to have to see if these kids grow into full-fledged Premiership players enough to take Spurs over the top. And I'm not completely against that. I think more teams should do that. So we'll see. We'll see if these young kids coming through can keep Spurs afloat and push them over the top. I doubt it. I think we'll see. I'm just looking at their roster. see what they got. They have an American, Cameron Carter Vickers. So, all right, Spurs has an American. He's 19 years old, and he's been with Spurs since 2015. So they're bringing him up and putting him in there. They still got Danny Rose, Alderweireld, Vertonghen, Kieran Trippier, who is replacing Kyle Walker. Now, Trippier is good when he doesn't have to play an entire season plus Champions. Trippier is going to play more games this season than he's probably played in his Spurs first team career. That is huge. That is a lot of mileage in one season. Like, before he had Kyle Walker in front of him, and even though I think he's a better passer and crosser than Kyle Walker, time. What is a season of mileage in Champions League and the Premiership and the League Cup and the FA Cup? How is this going to affect his game? Is he going to be able to maintain the quality that he had in less games? This is the year for us to find out. And that's why I think the Kyle Walker thing is a subtraction, not bringing Trippier up. Like, they could have played half season at least. But this position, the way Spurs plays backs, the backs dominate the game. They hold the ball a lot, and they go forward a lot. You know, they're dominating. It's a dominating position for Spurs. And this good thing he's 26, he's young, and it is time for him to take the reins and go forward. But let's see what this does, man. It's time to be a man, like a full season man. Trippier has had 56 Premier League appearances. Let's see if he surpasses that amount, like in his career. So he's been with Man City. He's been with Burnley. So he was with Man City 2009 to 2010. To 2012. He was with Burnley from 2014 to 2015. He's been with Spurs from 2015, since 2015 now to 2017. So, like I said, man, he'll probably play more games this season for Spurs than he's played in his entire Premier League career, which is, so far, he's played 56 Premier League games. He's had 10 assists, which is pretty good. 10 assists in 56 Premier League games, one goal, 13 clean sheets. So it's all about you, Trippier. Good luck. So, and then there's a Kyle Walker-Peters. Saw a little bit of him in preseason. Not bad. Not bad. He's a defender. He's a back. So, I don't know. Spurs produces backs. It's one thing they do. They got backs. So, we'll see. And they still got Sissoko. They got Dele Alli, Dembele, Eriksen, Harry Winks. Kane is forward. Non-scoring Vincent Janssen. Let me see how many goals Janssen had last year. So, Janssen, holy shit. What is Janssen? Okay, so the good thing is Janssen's only 23. That's the good thing. Last year he had 27 Premier League appearances, 2 goals. And 2 assists. Not great for the amount of money that they paid for him. Listen, it's not going to be tough for Janssen to score more goals than he did last year. As a Man U fan, I hope he doesn't. But, man, this would be terrible for him, just personally, to have the type of season he had last year. And Spurs are going to need him, you know, to rest Harry Kane. And sometimes Harry Kane gets injured. So, let's see what's up. Okay, let's see who else might have a shot at this title. This Premier League title, which is currently being held by Chelsea. West Ham, West Brom, Watford, Already talked about Spurs, Swansea, Stoke, Southampton, Newcastle United, Man United, probably. Man City, probably. Liverpool, I don't think they're not going to be as good as they were last year. And Klopp has to decide, does he want to stay with this team? Like, he's won the Bundesliga before. He's been to the Champions League finals. And now he is the coach of a team. So he's used to winning. But he's also used to, when he was at Dortmund, to losing players to teams that are considered upper echelon teams. Like, you know, they sold a lot of their players at Dortmund to the main competition, Bayern Munich. And now he's at Liverpool, and he's about to lose probably a Coutinho. And if that's a big blow. That's a huge blow. So I don't even think Liverpool is serious about winning the league. They're less serious about winning the league than Spurs is. At least Spurs held on to most of their most valuable players. Liverpool's about to sell their most valuable player. So I can't put a team like that in title contention. Leicester City, Huddersfield Town, Everton, Crystal Palace, Chelsea, maybe. Burnley, Brighton, Bournemouth. So it's between Arsenal, Chelsea, Man City, Man United. Last year, you could throw Liverpool in the mix. And there was another team. And also between Spurs, too. This year. It just won't be the dead heat down the end of the season with as many teams as it were in jockeying for positions. There were like 6 to 7 teams jockeying for the 4 Champions League seasons in the last few months of the season. I don't think it'll be like that. I think the pretenders will be behind the real 3 or 4 teams that are going to vie for the championship. I don't think the pretenders will hang around as long as they did last year. And even last year, Man U was a pretender. So that's my thoughts on the Premiership. Now, let me just run through these fixtures. I'll pick some out for this weekend coming up. And let's see what's up. Arsenal versus Everton. Arsenal, you could win that. Your players. That's not the first game. What's going on here? Already Arsenal has a date to be confirmed. Against Everton. Alright. So here's the real deal. So the game, Saturday, August 12th. This weekend, Leicester versus Arsenal. Even though Arsenal played last week Sunday, I'll give them that. They had a week off. Season just started. Players are rested, so they can beat Leicester at the Emirates. Watch for Liverpool. Go Liverpool for now. Might be Liverpool's last game with Coutinho. Who knows if they're going to sell them. Why is this doubling up? All right, let me regenerate this page. Sorry about this, y'all. I have a fixture glitch. So I want to make sure I'm giving you the right bad information. There it is, it's better. So Arsenal versus Leicester and Watford versus Liverpool on the first day of the season. All right. So I'm going to go Arsenal will probably beat Leicester. And because Leicester hasn't really done anything except keep Gray and Mahrez, who's unhappy. And Watford's Watford, so I'm going to go Liverpool. Chelsea versus Burnley. The Chelsea's a champs. They're playing at Stamford Bridge. They should be able to pull that off. Huddersfield, I don't know who you are yet. It's going to be your first game in the Premiership, and you're playing Crystal Palace. And who knows who you are? A lot of championship teams win their first game in the Premiership. So let's see what you're going to do. You know, a lot of championship teams, when they come up, they surprise the team that they're playing. Maybe the team from that's in the Premiership before is like, nah, these are some championship guys. They're not going to beat us. And they go out half-heartedly. They don't think the season really started. They see a team against a game against a team in its first Premiership game as maybe still a preseason game. So who knows? Everton Stoke. It's at Goodison Park. Is Rooney going to play? Stoke, what's Stoke got? Let me see what Stoke got. Let me see what moves they made. Because I don't normally pay attention to moves that Stoke makes. It's Stoke. You know, they're not serious about football, so why should I be serious about them? They still got Darren Fletcher. Jesus Christ. Glenn Johnson, Shawcross, Jeff Cameron, it's just Joe Allen, Stephen Ireland, Charlie Adam. It's just a bunch of guys just getting older. Just an older bunch of old guys from last year. They still got Shaqiri, Saido, Berahino. Now he gets a preseason with this team and a full season, so let's see. I think he'll improve and have a chance. Peter Crouch, still Stoke. Bojan Krkić, I think he ended the season injured, so now, you know, he should have a chance. It's just, this not good. This wasn't good last year, Stoke. You brought all this shit back? Jesus Christ. Everton, you should be able to pull that off, all right? Don't fuck this up. And Stoke. I mean, I guess you're going to spend, Stoke is probably going to spend its money when the new transfer season opens, when they're in danger of being relegated. That's probably when they're going to spend their money. I want to make sure I've been looking at the right thing. West Brom, Bournemouth. I like the way Bournemouth plays attractive football, so I'm going to go for them, but West Brom, in the early part of the season, West Brom plays their best football because they try to get to 40 points, which is when you're assured that you won't be relegated. They try to get that as soon as possible. After that, they drop off. So they're going to be tough. West Brom is going to be tough for the first possible chance of getting 40 points. And then there's Brighton versus Man City. Now, you're Brighton, you're a championship team, and you get promoted to the Premier League, and you celebrate like crazy. You're like, yeah, we're in the Premier League. And then the fixture list comes out, and you're playing Man City. And you're like, can we go back down to the championship? This might be embarrassing. The game is going to be at the Amex Stadium, and fans from Brighton, you might see a lot of goals go in the net, but it's going to be in your net because Man City can, even though their defense is not great, it has improved. And here's the crazy thing. Man City, right, is hilarious. They added attacking midfielders and creative players. And they wanted to improve their defense. But they improved their defense with Danilo and Kyle Walker. So basically, they've improved their defense with attacking defenders. like two defenders that go forward. So in Pep's ambition to improve his defense, did he really improve his defense? Because he improved his defense with players that will be forward so much that they will actually make Mangala and all the Mangala, Otamendi, Company, and Stones, they'll attack so much, those guys might be even more exposed than before when they had Walker and Danilo. It's so hilarious. Like, yeah, man, you know what our problem was last year? Let's get some midfielders. Like, but let's get, like, two of the most attacking mid... You know what our problem was last year? We need defense. So let's get some defensive backs. But these defensive backs are going to be so attacking. Are they really going to be defenders? Are they really going to be better defensively? Are they going to be more of a liability? I just thought about that. Like a whole season with these guys flying forward. All it needs is some careful planning, and any team can beat Man City if Man City doesn't go up 3, 4, or 5 goals first. And even if in the middle of a game, if Pep is like, all right, we're leading. Let's Danilo and Kyle Walker don't go forward as much. First of all, I don't even think it's in Pep's DNA to tell his players not to go forward. And I don't think it's in Kyle Walker's or Danilo's DNA to not go forward. So, good luck over there, Man City. Like, you look good in preseason, but a whole season? Like, last year, the season beat you. The 39 games beat you. It wore the holes in your defense. It exposed you defensively. And this year, you claim to have better defense. No, you have a better attacking defense. You did not become less vulnerable in the back. You actually became probably more vulnerable. So, Pep, you're going to go crazy. When those goals go in the back of your net. You'll beat Brighton, but the season will beat you. And then Spurs versus Newcastle. Newcastle's back. I am not a big Spurs fan, but I am less of a Newcastle fan. I don't like Newcastle, just the way their ownership is. I don't like Benitez. I don't want to see Benitez succeed. So, yeah. And then Monday game. The Monday game is the Man U game. So, Man U on Monday the 14th. It's Monday the 14th out here in Australia. That's when they'll play West Ham and Old Trafford. That won't be an easy game. It won't be an easy game. But I think we could pull it off. With that midfield, we should be able to pull it off. And let's see what style Mourinho is going to put on West Ham. You know, let me see what West Ham did. They did some things. They got a defender from Man City. It was an old defender, Zamaleta. So they got Zamaleta. I like Zamaleta in his prime. But they didn't get prime Zamaleta. They got an old, near retirement Zamaleta. So that's one improvement they made, an older Zabaleta. An older Zabaleta. And then they still got Lanzini, Snodgrass, Obiang, Mark Noble, Mikel Antonio. They got Joe Hart now. They brought him back to the Premiership. They got Chicharito. Chicharito flourished. He did a decent job at Man U. He flourished in the Bundesliga. So they replaced the French guy with Chicharito. That's good for them. They got Arnautović. So they got Arnautović, from, let me make sure it's from Stoke, because I think that's where he was at first, yeah. So they got Arnautović from Stoke, but Arnautović is on and off. So, you got, let me see. I got to check something. So, do you have Arnautović and Carroll? Because you have two giants. So, you must have gotten rid of Carroll. Okay, Andy Carroll is still there. So, you basically got a player like a player that you have. So, that's interesting. It's interesting. West Ham, maybe you should turn one of them dudes into defenders. Maybe you should do that. I'm just looking through. Who are we going to start? It seems like Damian got the back job over Luke Shaw. Like, what is going to happen to Luke Shaw? What is he going to end up being? Not sure. Not sure. But I like Man U squad, man. Definitely like Man U squad. I'm way more in love with it than I was last year. So, and I want to see Pereira play. I think he's a smart kid. And let me see where he... I think he came from our youth system, but let me check and make sure. Yeah, he's been a Man U since 2014. And 5 appearances, no goals, no assists, but a lot of potential. And he's 21 years old. He's Brazilian. And have a good season, Andres. I'll be checking you out. And so that's the Premiership. I kind of want to say some things about La Liga. And here's what I got to say. I think, so the transfer of Neymar, he's at PSG, over 200 million euros for a player. If any player is worth that amount of money, it's Neymar. There's a few reasons why he could have left. One, because he tax problems. Like, it feels like every, the IRS of Spain is attacking its players. Messi's been in trouble. Ronaldo's in trouble right now. Neymar's been in trouble. There's been so many Barcelona players. So either Barcelona needs to get better personal accountants, the players need to, or the tax system in Spain is off the chain and is trying to take motherfuckers down. So Neymar's out of there. Go to Monaco, there's different shelters. And also his father's his agent, so he can get a percentage of a 200 million euro sale. So he can put like $20 or $10 million in his dad's pocket. So his dad might have influenced him to go to PSG just because of that. And also, you know, Neymar wants to one day be one of the best players in the world. And I think that might be the main reason, you know, combined with the other two. He wants to win Player of the Year, and Barcelona is Messi's team, so he has to go to a team that is his team. That's the only way he's going to win. And it's funny that it was a Champions League game where Barcelona came back and Neymar scored the winning goal against PSG. It was an amazing game. It was an improbable win. And it probably came, that win came back to haunt Barcelona because of Neymar's performance in that game. PSG is like, we're buying that guy. So he can't do that to us. And now PSG with Neymar, very dangerous team. Very dangerous team. He's some of what they needed. And if PSG gets Mbappe from Monaco, and they have Cavani. Cavani scored 49 goals in 50 games last year, and PSG bought a Neymar. I was like, don't forget Cavani over there. He's lethal. He's back. He's back from his injury. He's at full force. They didn't win the league, but they have a Neymar, and they might get an Mbappe. So that team could be off the chain. I will be watching way more La Liga than I did last year. I gotta see that. So it says here in this article 4 hours ago. Oh shit! Mbappe chooses PSG over Real Madrid as team that he wants to join, and he's agreed to personal terms. So fuck. He's gonna stay in France. He's like, shit, they got a Neymar. They got a Cavani. They have a solid team. This team is better. This team is better. This team can win Champions League. I don't know if they all get the chemistry right, but here's the crazy thing. I don't think their coach is that good. This Ancelotti should be back there. They might have to... Jesus. This PSG coach fucking... Oh, this PSG team is built. They're dope, man. It's going to be fucking amazing. So that's PSG. And if you go to the Spanish league, I think Barcelona has a coach who's not used to winning things. And he's coaching players that are used to winning things. So I don't know. He has to win early and put in a system that the players like, or he could lose the team. The team has way more. Let me see Barcelona's coach. Let me just put that in. I forgot his name. That's how good this guy is. Ernesto Valverde. And former Athletic Bilbao manager. Takes over from Luis Enrique. He's 53. He's also managed Villarreal, Valencia, and Espanyol. I don't remember them ever winning La Liga under him. And shit. I mean, he played for Barcelona for 2 years in the 80s, late 80s. And I guess he knows the tiki-taka system. Is that enough? Like, one thing Barca does is they'll pick somebody who played with them, who used to be on the team. Like, they did that with Pep, Luis Enrique, and now Ernesto Valverde. I got to get used to saying that for the limited amount of time that he is going to be head coach of Barcelona. But so they got a new coach who hasn't won, and they're weakened. And Iniesta is older. So I don't think this is going to be a great season for them. I think Real Madrid is set up to win the league again. I think their players are fucking amazing. They have the youth who helped them last year, who filled in when players like Bale or Benzema or Ronaldo were just injured or when Ronaldo... So those players, Isco has gotten exponentially better. Kovacic has come on during the preseason, so he's a great sub. Cruz has been playing better. Casemiro has turned into another guy. He's leaps and bounds above who he was 2 years ago. He's like a buy that they didn't buy. He's there and he's grown. Who knows what Bale is going to bring? He's going to feel competition, so he might have to step up. Even though they sold Morata and they sold James Rodriguez to Barcelona, to Bayern Munich. I just don't think they've lost a step. I think they've gained steps, and their youth are hungry. I saw them in a preseason game, and they unleashed like five or six of them as subs in the preseason game at the same time, and they were like angry, young, focused Wolves. They just ran out on the field, got the ball, passed it around to each other, and just attacked. I think it was against Man United, and it changed the game for Real Madrid. So I don't think it's going to be tough for anybody to beat them. You know, so this is just the football season's about to start, and this is going to be fucking amazing. It's going to be great. Everybody enjoy the games this weekend. Follow me on Twitter at @IanEdwardsComic. I'm going to wrap this up. This is the beginning. I'm going to also this year try to do Champions League games. So midweek, I'm going to try to do a podcast. So listen up. Subscribe on iTunes. Tell your friends. This is back. We're doing this. I'll be doing this with or without a partner every week and sometimes twice a week. I want to increase the listenership. I want to have fun. I want to spread love and football. And let's do this. So if you like it, tell other people to listen. And also, I'm going to try to get Joe Rogan to do a tri-cast. Like, we're going to watch a game live at his studio. He's gonna definitely shit on soccer, but he's gonna learn to love it at the same time. So, hey man, it's good to be back. Love football, love you guys. Let's do this, man. Let's get this season started, and I'll talk to you this weekend. I'm gonna release another one of these things this weekend after the Premiership. So probably Monday after the Man U game. I got to see the Man U game against West Ham. So, hey, this is exciting. Enjoy the week. Remember, onthevolleyapparel.com. You know, check them out. See if you like anything. Comic Rant. Use that as a code. It'll get you a 20% discount. And also, don't forget, I'm in Australia. And I'll be at the Comedy Store in Sydney on the 19th. It's a Saturday. Show starts at 6:15. That's pretty fucking early. But, hey, I'll be up. I'll be there. And, that's it. Thanks for listening. Love y'all. I'm back. Morning.